I had summered up here throughout my childhood. When I graduated from college in 1981, I drifted back to Cape Cod. Grump was a old-style builder. Half the people in town have worked for this guy. Grump was a real taskmaster, worked right there along with you. Very tough guy, strong guy. Nobody graduated. Everybody quit because nobody was good enough or smart enough or fast enough. And one fellow had the record for 5 years, and then another guy was there for seven. He held the record for a long time. I was there for probably 7 years total, but it wasn't uninterrupted. You stayed around long enough, you got to be in charge, which is when you really learned the trade. It was 2002, 2003. I took a job at P-Town and took the shop teaching position there. For me, that was the greatest part of my career. I finally got my chance to teach the high school kids. We did just bigger and better, always pushing the envelope, always challenging them to do the biggest projects possible. Kid wants to build a boat, and we're going to build a boat. Motivating them for that sort of thing was not difficult. We never get into acoustic guitar building, which is maybe the highest form of woodworking, which is kind of a regret for me. But barring that one item, I never said no. If someone had an idea, you know, you want to build a jewelry box, we can do it. You want to build a hutch, it's going to stand 6 foot tall. We did that as well. The Pier Corporation down on the pier, they need an 8x12 shack. And I said, let's do that. We can do that for you. Those shacks are still there. I think there's 19 shacks in the dunes. Peekadil Trust manages five. We've saved three of them that looked like they were not going to be around if they weren't restored properly. It's a very harsh environment. The dunes are shifting constantly. They're like slow motion waves. You go by the Mid-Cape Highway where you can see the dunes so prevalently on display there. That sand is moving onto the highway. Periodically, they have to go in there with front loaders and take the sand away because the road could get buried. One of the teachers at my school was very much involved with the shacks, and she kept telling me, you've got to come, you've got to come. And finally, I gave in, and I went. I was taken out to a dune shack one fall afternoon, which was kind of a magical experience the first time you go to one of those places. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and you walk inside, and you're like, holy mackerel, isn't this amazing? You go in there, and there's a stove and a refrigerator, and there are windows with pulley systems and cables and counterweights. You untie this window and you lower a weight and the string moves and the window comes up, and just everything is built with deliberate purpose in the design. And most of the shacks are cobbed together with driftwood and strange pieces of wood. So as a builder and someone who's always been in construction and taught shop class, you go in and go, wow, look at these people have done, who have no talent at all and absolutely no materials, and they've kept these things standing all these years. So you get hooked. I mean, it's not for everybody. The dune shacks are not for everybody. But for a certain person, it's like, wow, I'm in. Peekadil Trust has what's called Work Weekend early in the spring each year. And armies of people go out there and begin doing the tasks of opening up the shack after the winter. And we went out there one fabled work weekend. I happened to bring my carpenter's toolbox with me because if I'm going to work, I knew that I have to have my hand tools. And so I got out there, and at Zara's, the stovepipe had rusted out. And I looked at that and I go, oh, I can do that. And I ended up staying there and rigging the stovepipe. I had to cut the stovepipe with a handsaw, which is insane. Somebody came back in there and like, whoa, who did that? You know, wow. It was easy enough. I happened to be there and I filled that slot, and I thought to myself, well, I got a place here if I want it. That's how it started. And then we ended up doing all kinds of things. All the privies were timing out because they'd all been built probably 25 years sooner. And we ended up building five total. So all the privies there are in good shape. That was one of the first big things we did out there. We're trying to take care of these shacks and not get behind the eight ball. If they get buried, we have to dig them out because they're going to rot if they stay buried. If they're left high and dry and standing 8 feet above the ground, they become unstable. So it then becomes our job to lower the shack. So no matter what it is, if the roof starts to leak, we have to strip the roof. We have to replace the rotten boards. We have to put tar paper down and reshingle the thing. You can only patch the shack for so long, which, you know, people with the best intentions who don't have carpentry skills are going to keep the shack going. But my theory was, if we're going to do this, let's do it like carpenters would do it. We do it right, we won't have to return. if something is wrong, you want to keep up with it. But at the same time, you don't want to change anything. Jody, you said if Hazel Hawthorne returned to her shack from 75 years ago, she would walk up and recognize it. It wouldn't look different. It would look the same. We struggle to do that. If a window is being rebuilt, you don't rebuild the entire window. You pull it apart, repair the rotten wood, put it back together the way it was, keep as much of it as is possible, original. The Lhasa has got the honor of being the closest to the foredune, which is the main dune facing the ocean. And she's right at the cusp. When you step out of the door at the Lhasa, the dune is like at nose height. You're looking it over and there's the beach. You are right there. At the Lhasa last year, we knew that there was a major upgrade coming. We were threatened with moving Thalassa 5 years ago because the ocean was taking the soil and taking the sand, and the ocean was creeping closer and closer, and it looked like Thalassa would have had to been moved to save it. And then all of a sudden, the ocean reversed course and started building up, so we didn't have to move Thalassa, as it turned out. But we kept thinking, well, what would happen if we did have to move it? Because we couldn't move it. There was nothing to push against. There was no floor system there. It was really in rough shape. So just last winter, we went out with a crew, and we bolted giant modern beams to the side of Thalassa, got four jacks, lifted the shack up, and just disconnected the bottom floor system. The shack comes up, and a crew of hardy volunteers come with saws. We reused all the beautiful lumber that we could possibly reuse from the floor system at Thalassa, and we rebuilt it, pounded the frame together by hand, no plywood. Not a stitch of plywood on Thalassa. It's old style, put together the old way. I've been lucky to get a couple of other builders to come out with me. So when you're in the middle of this construction project, you know, it has to happen. You have to move forward with it because the worst thing imaginable could happen. You could have like a storm out there. And if the shack isn't secure, it could be a disaster. You know, if the thing is disconnected and lifted up and it's on jacks and the wind blows, which almost happened this last time on Thalassa. We had Thalassa jacked up, and we built the new floor, and the storm was coming, and it ended up blowing like 80 miles an hour. And there was a wind gust recorded in Troy. It was like 90 miles an hour. It was like a hurricane force winds. And we knew the storm was coming, but we were in the throes of this project and we couldn't stop. We were kind of caught on our heels and we had to do this. So we got the new floor system framed. We got the subfloor nailed down. A bunch of guys in there pounding, you know, everyone's pounding nails, bam, 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 it's noisy. And we loosened up the jacks and we set the shack down back on the new floor, but we didn't fasten it. And just as the rains were starting and everybody scrambled and we took off. It was like a hurricane that night and I didn't worry too much about it, but then the phone started ringing in the morning and the other guys started to call me and they're like, do you think everything's okay? What do you think? What do you think? And I go, I think everything's fine. But then they planted that doubt in my mind. And so I had to drive out to P-Town whenever it was. I don't know whether we waited a day, if we went out there the next day in the afternoon. And as I got closer, I was like, oh my God, I hope the shack is there. I'm racing and I'm just like imagining the worst. But I was quite frightened. It could have tipped over. I kept thinking, oh my God, the thing's going to roll over and it's going to be down the dune. It's going to be in a heap down the dune, falling apart. And it was fine. It stayed there. Even though it wasn't nailed down, we dodged a bullet there, I guess. Thalassa is a special place and it is beautiful. I think it's going to last forever. As long as they keep jacking it up every time it gets buried, which is going to happen again. If the ocean began to erode, we'll jack it up and put it on runners. And you'd roll it down the dune and move it. Be real easy. I got a plan already. If you can move a 300-foot lighthouse, we can move Thalassa.